We on? There we go. Prior to the announcements today, the video announcements, I had always wondered who back in time did Charlie Brown's teacher's voice. Now I know. Some of you will get that. I'm gonna wait. I'll do that in a minute. I am known for whenever I speak that I tell a story, and it's usually funny, depending on who you ask, and it's never true, but usually a little part of it's true. But I am here to tell you that I'm going to tell you a story, and I hope it's going to be funny, but it is 100% true today, and it's even related to football. So that's a good thing, right? So there was a coach, a college football coach in the Southeast Conference, and he had had a bad couple seasons. And his board came to him and said, if you don't have a winning season this year, you're going to be fired. So the pressure was on. So it came down to the end of the season, and the team was 6-6. So now the pressure was really on. And the team that they were playing in this last game was their rival team. And the last time they had faced them, they had lost by 3 touchdowns. So they were concerned. And one other thing is this team that they were playing had the fastest defensive back in the country. This guy could run a 4.35 40. That's fast, if you don't know that. I clocked Dennis the other day at 4.36, so that's really fast. Well, he was on 40 feet, not 40 yards, okay? But anyway, the day for the game came, and they were all fired up. They got out there, and they were playing great. They were ahead by 2 touchdowns, come down to the last 2 minutes of the game. And all they had to do was maintain this lead. So the coach called a timeout. He brought him over, and he said, listen, we got 3 downs to run this clock out. Keep the ball on the ground. Don't pass it. Don't anything dumb. Especially, we don't want to get the ball in the hands of that defensive back, and we could just walk home with this victory. So they went back out on the field, and they were actually down to about the 10-yard line on the other team's toward the other team's end zone. So the first play, he called a running play, and the guy got a yard or two, and it was okay. And then second play, he called a running play again, got a couple yards, and man, they were like almost to the 5. And when they came into their huddle, the quarterback said, you know, I know that he said to keep it on the ground, but the last time these guys played us, they beat us by 3 touchdowns. And I'd sure like some bragging rights. I think we can score. So I'm gonna pass it. And they all looked at him like, you're an idiot. What are you thinking? That's just dumb. But he was a quarterback. So they went out there. The ball was snapped. He fades back. And the coach looks like, what are you doing? And he's got a guy wide open in the end zone. And he throws that ball. And just before it gets to him, that defensive back comes running across. Picks that ball off. And heads upfield. And he gets up to the 10, 20, 30, 40, midfield, 40, 30, 20. Time's down to about 20 seconds. And out of nowhere, a player comes and tackles him. And they try running one play, and they don't get hardly anything. And time runs out, and they win the game. And everybody's thinking, phew. And the two opposing coaches are going to come out on the field, and they come to find out before they walk out there that the player who actually tackled the guy, that defensive back, was the quarterback who threw the interception. So it was a shock that he got down there. But when those two opposing coaches come out to shake hands, the losing coach looks at him and he says, I don't understand. I've got the fastest runner in the United States in college football. And your quarterback's not even that fast. And when my guy picked that ball off, I saw a wide open field in front of him and I thought, okay, he's going to score. We'll run an onside kick, score again, and we can win this thing. But then all of a sudden, your quarterback runs him down. There's no way. I don't know how that happened. And the winning coach looked at him and he said, I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. It's very simple. He said, your man was running for a touchdown. But my man was running for his life. That is a true story. Because he knew if he didn't catch that guy, he was dead. He was running in fear. And isn't it interesting how many people will do some pretty crazy things when fear is involved? Not always good and not always positive. And it's come to my attention over the last several months as I've prayed for people up here at the front of the church and on the prayer team, and as I've seen people's posts on Facebook and from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that many people in this congregation are operating and walking in fear. And when God called that to my attention, I looked at him and I said, God, what's the matter with them? They know better than that. And at that moment, God reminded me of the scripture that says, judge not lest ye be judged. For with the same measure that you judge, it'll be held against you. And he reminded me of several instances recently in which I've walked around and operated in fear. And so I repented and backed off, and I said, God, why is that? And he said, I want you to turn to 1 Peter 5:8. And that's the beginning scripture I'm going to use here today, which says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There's a very important reason that God compared a lion's attacks to those of the devil. I'm going to say that again. There's a very important reason that God compared a lion's attacks to those of the devil. But first, we're going to pray. Father God, I just come before you today in Jesus' name, and I give you thanks for the opportunity to share your word. Father, I pray right now, less of me, more than you. It's not about anything that I can do or say, Father. It's all about what your word says and what you can accomplish through us, Father. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you know about lions, but I did a little research on them. And I found out three cool things about lions that you may already know. One, they can run really fast, like 50 miles an hour. That's fast. That's even faster than Pastor Dennis. I don't know why I'm doing that today, but I just am. I didn't say that first service. Second thing about lions is that they can jump very powerfully. They can jump up to 33 feet from a crouching position. That's a long ways. And the third thing about lions is they can roar really loudly. It's been documented that a lion's roar can be heard up to 5 miles away. Think about that. I mean, Rachel can talk pretty loud, but I don't think you could hear her from 5 miles away. I don't know, maybe you could. But can you imagine how loud that'd be right behind you? You know what I'm saying? Now, with all those cool things about a lion, the detriment is that he has no endurance. All of those things that are about his power, he can only maintain for about 2 to 3 seconds. So a lion can attack in three ways based on that. He can run, as in chase them, but he can only keep up that speed for about 2 to 3 seconds. So if the animal can change direction quickly or knows he's coming or accelerates well, it's over and he'll get away. Or the lion can pounce. He can sneak up real quietly within about 30 feet of that animal that he wants to eat and jump. But he's going to have perfect aim and had to be quiet because if the animal knew he was coming, moves, it's over. Because once the lion jumps, if he doesn't land on him, he's too tired to do anything else. He can't chase after that, so it'll also be over. And the third, like I said, is his roar. The lion can roar. I mean, like I said, his lion's roar could be heard from 5 miles away. Imagine how loud that is. I mean, have you ever been in a storm where you're like right in the center of the storm and that lightning flashes really close to you and that thunder cracks so loud and is like so instantaneous and so powerful that you like go find a place to change the Fruit of the Looms, you know what I mean? Because it like paralyzes you. Well, evidently some of the parts weren't paralyzed, but you get what I'm saying, right? I mean, but again, that roar is so loud that it paralyzes the prey momentarily. But that's long enough because that's all it takes for the lion to pounce. But again, if it doesn't last very long, or if it lasts very long, then the lion's out of the running. So, The lion is very patient, but he has no endurance. He will take his time getting in a perfect position to attack, but again, if it lasts too long, it's over. And the devil is the same way. The devil is very patient. He will take his time getting into the perfect position to attack. But if it takes too long, he's going to give up. And some of you can already see where this is going. Amen? So, now I'm going to come to the main scripture, and that is Ephesians chapter 6. If you want to turn there, you can. All of you have read this before. It's about the armor of God. I'm going to read verses 10 through 18. I'm going to wait. I'll do that in a minute. Okay, I'm going to read this to you first. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and all supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Today, our goal is this. You can go ahead and put that up. Our goal is, this is the title of the message, is putting the roar on the other foot. The devil's got the roar, like the lion had. We want to take that roar off of his foot and put it on ours. We deserve to have that roar. Amen? Amen. Now, in order for you to accomplish that, to get the roar on your foot, there's three things required. And you all knew that before I said it, because everybody knows that every great preacher has three main points, right? If it's four, it's too long. It's two, it's not enough. So, 3 points. So, I'm going to give you 3 points. First point is, realize that you aren't the one doing the fighting. Go back to that verse again. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in who? And in the power of whose might? And put on whose armor?" It's not you doing the fighting. See, when you put on that armor, the devil has no clue who's wearing it. You got all that armor on? He can't see that it's you. Far as he's concerned, it's God. Let me give you a little comparison so you'll get it. Okay, this afternoon, when you go watch that game, by the way, before I forget, first time I ever preached here, Pastor Dennis told me I had about 20, 25 minutes. He didn't tell me how long I had today. What time does the game start? 5:30? Oh, I'm just kidding. But when you all go to watch that game today, and you see all those guys run out there in those red shirts, but they got helmets on so you can't see their face, and you see one jersey with the number 15 in it, who's there? Patrick Mahomes. You see that 15, you know it's Patrick Mahomes. Maybe. You don't know it's him. Somebody could have one, put that jersey on, go running out there with that helmet on, you don't have any clue. But as soon as you see that 15, you think Mahomes, right? God sees that armor, or excuse me, the devil sees that armor, it's got God's number on it, he don't know no better. Now some of you are thinking, the devil's smarter than that. Really? Josh, come on up here. Let me tell you something. How many of you out there been wondering when I'm going to start playing? You've been wondering, right? Let me let you in on a little secret. I can't play a cotton pick a note on this thing. I have no clue how to play it. But I've been walking around like I know what I'm doing, so you all think I can play it, right? Now let me show you something even cooler than that. was wear it. I didn't have to do the playing, but it still sounded great. We all enjoyed it. And when you're done, you can take it off and give it back to its rightful owner, like I'm going to do. Or you can keep it on for the next battle. But the point is, all you have to do is stand there. He does the fighting. Amen? Amen. Point number two. Realize that God has your best interest at heart always, no matter what. See, a lot of you are thinking, I put that armor on. I don't know why I'm in this battle. I don't see any point to this battle. I don't even know if I can win this battle, etc., etc. God will never, ever, ever do anything that will put you in spiritual harm's way. I promise you that, and I guarantee you it, but I'm going to show it to you right now. Go back to verse 14. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. First piece of the armor, truth. What is the truth? I'm going to tell you a truth. In the Message Bible, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know what I'm doing. That's the truth. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. He knows what he's doing. Any of you ever heard that song? If you have not, you need to look it up on YouTube. He knows what he's doing. If I had things my way, I'd take that from you. But God, he knows what he's doing. Amen? He knows what he's doing. It says, he has plans to give you the future that you hope for. Marty, he has plans to give you the future you hope for. Froggy, he has plans to give you the future you hope for. Man, what else could you want? The future you hope for, he has plans to give you it. Amen. Go back again, verse 14. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Second piece of armor, righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. Man, he's got my best interest at heart. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Next piece of armor, gospel of peace. Philippians 4:7 says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That is awesome. I'm going to keep moving so I don't go into the game. Huh? Verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. He wants to give you what you hope for, but can't yet see. Finally, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation. Now, that helmet's important because that helmet protects your head, which is where a lot of the battle takes place, in your mind. That's where you voice to yourself negative possibilities of the outcome of the battle, and where the devil speaks negative things to you about yourself and about the outcomes of the battle. And that is a huge battle. The mental battle, I'm sorry, is way over any physical battle that could ever take place. Amen? And listen, 2 Corinthians 10:5 in the Amplified says, we are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought and purpose captive to the obedience of Christ. That helmet is there to go ahead, give God a hand. I agree. That helmet is there to protect you and take every thought that the enemy puts in your mind and that you put in your mind that are negative, keep them captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. We've got to take those things captive when he says them to you. He's just roaring. It's loud, but he's just roaring. How many of you have ever been hurt physically by thunder? I know a lot of people have been hurt by lightning, but no one's ever been hurt by thunder. It's just roar. He's just roaring, and it's not going to hurt you. Finally, the last part of verse 17. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of God, last piece of the armor. That is awesome, because the word of God contains so many promises for you. But above all those, I want to bring one to your attention, and that is this. 365 times in the Bible, it says something to the effect of, do not fear, or be not afraid. 365 times. That means if you're one of those people who tries to read the Bible in a year, you get a do not fear verse for every single day. Amen? That's the last piece of the armor, is to keep you from being in fear. Amen. So realize that God has your best interest at heart. That armor is set up completely, as we just read, for these reasons: to give you the future you hope for, to add all these things to you, to guard your hearts and minds with peace, to give you what you hope for but can't see, to help you keep your negative thoughts and the negative thoughts that the devil tells to you captive, and to keep you from fearing. Amen. Third and final point. Realize that you have to watch and pray. Watch and pray. Back to verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, what kind of prayer? Thanksgiving? Supplication? Mental? Verbal? Public? Private? Protection? Petition? Yes. All prayer. That, you know, a very wise pastor once said to me, if a scripture can be taken literally, take it literally. You know who that wise pastor was? Pastor Dennis. Very wise man. Can this be taken literally? Yeah. Would it be tough? Yeah. So, are you saying that I need to pray instead of watching TV? Are you saying that I need to pray instead of being on social media like Facebook? Are you saying I need to pray instead of playing video games? I don't know. Do you want to win? Back when I was in my peak and winning world championships 100 years ago, thank you for one laugh on that. Whenever I went into a workout that I didn't feel like doing and I was wanting to slack off, the back of my mind would say to me, someone out there is working harder than you right now. Or whenever I would want to eat something that I knew I shouldn't eat, I was tempted, it was garbage food, my mind would say, someone out there is eating more healthy than you are right now. Back when I was doing that, whatever it took to win and get in that direction, I did it. Drove my wife up the honking wall. But whatever would get me in the direction toward winning is the thing that I did at that time. Do you want to win? I guess that's up to you. Be glad that it didn't say you had to fight. Nowhere in verses 10 through 18 did it say fight. I'll tell you what it did say. It said to be strong, to put on the armor, to take the armor, to stand, to take the shield, helmet, and sword, to pray, and to watch. But never said to fight. So you don't have to do that. But do what it said to do. And the last thing that it did say to do was to watch. Now, what does to watch mean? I think it means to pay attention, to be aware of what the devil is doing. See, remember, as I said, he's always going to do a surprise attack. He's not going to catch you when you're at your peak, okay? That lion, you've ever watched the Discovery Channel or Animal Planet or one of those things? You know, you're out there in the Serengeti and that lion's crawling through the grass. He's getting real close. He sees that big old wildebeest out there that he's planning on having tonight about 6 o'clock for dinner. And he's sitting there getting ready to pounce. And all of a sudden, burp. I know that was a really bad impression. But that wildebeest is gone. It's over. There's no way he's going to get it now. The devil is never going to come up, tap you on the shoulder and say, "All right, here I come." He's not going to let you know he's getting ready to attack. He wants to catch you off guard by surprise with that roar. This is a quote from George Washington. He says, "Experience teaches us that it is much easier to prevent an enemy from posting themselves than it is to dislodge them after they have gotten possession." In other words, it's a lot easier to keep the enemy from getting into a position of attack than it is to keep them from attacking once they've got that position. And that's what we need to do. That's what watching means. As soon as you see or sense the devil trying to get a foothold, get that armor on, tell God to fight, start praying, and hang on. Josh, if you're not up here yet, you can head up here. Realize that you aren't the one doing the fighting. Realize that God always has your best interest at heart. And realize that you have to watch and pray. You do those things successfully, you'll take the roar off the lion, and you'll have that roar yourself. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and give them your best roar. That is not going to scare the fruit of the looms off of anybody. All right, I'm going to pray. Josh is going to play. And you're going to go home and stuff food down your throat while you watch the Chiefs win. Amen? Father God, I come before you today in Jesus' name. I thank you for the opportunity to share your word.